I want to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus this morning and welcome each to the service here. Our facility isn't as packed as it's been in the last few weeks, but we've had a good time together, and it's good to be back in a normal service again this morning as well. Welcome all our visitors to worship with us this morning. Very blessed by many things in the service already this morning. This morning I'd like to think primarily of Jesus as being center. We've talked about that pretty often, but in the Old Testament we have a number of prophecies of Christ and how he was to come. And in my notes I found something I had copied some time ago that I don't think I ever used that was a real blessing to me. And I'd like to just share that with you this morning. In Micah 5, verse 2, it says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting to everlasting. Isaiah 7, 14, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now these two prophecies were written many hundreds of years before Christ was born. And I know we're all familiar with all of these. And yet there's an authority and there's a decision that we have to make when we confront these in its entirety. What does it mean to us? In other words, there has to be a connection between our life, between our heart, and between our mind. We can assent that Jesus is Lord. We can say it with our head. But there's something else to say it with our heart and with our life. And so somebody had calculated that if you take 8 of the prophecies of Christ, and if it all comes true in one person, what the odds are that it could be just random. And this is what they said. He said there was a professor of mathematics. His name was Peter Stoner, and he gave this problem to 600 math students, and they worked out the probability of chance of what it could possibly be to have these two. Or to have 8 prophecies. I'd like to read just the other 6 here quickly. Number one, that the Messiah would be from the lineage of King David. And it was interesting for us. We studied in Bible school the life of David and Saul, and to see Jesus coming from the life of from the lineage of King David was prophesied in Jeremiah 600 years before Christ. It says that, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. If we turn to Luke chapter 3, starting at verses 23, it gives the lineage of Jesus, as Jesus himself began to be 30 years of age, being a supposed the son of Joseph, and it goes on down through a lot of different ancestors to verse 31. It says, which was the son of Melea, which was the son of Menon, which was the son of Mattiah, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. And so we see a clear connection there. Jeremiah's prophecy 600 years before, and now David is, we see it being fulfilled in Jesus at his birth. We see the prophecy that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 12 and 13, actually. It says, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And we know in Matthew 26, verse 15, it says, And Judas said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. This prophecy was made a little over 487 years before Christ, 487 B.C. actually. So zero is not exactly before Christ, but anyhow, 487 B.C., so hundreds of years before it was prophesied that Christ would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. There was a prophecy 1,000 years before B.C. in Psalm 22:16 that the Messiah would have his hands and feet pierced. For the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they have pierced my hands and my feet. And again, in Luke 23, we have the account of the crucifixion. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him. And we all know what crucifixion involves. It's a piercing of the hands and the feet. And this was very clearly David speaking of the Messiah when he would come, and it was prophesied, and 1,000 years later it happened. The prophecy was that they would cast lots for his clothes. And 22, again, the same psalm, 22, verse 8, it says, They part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. And then in John 19, 23 and 24, this is the account there. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my garment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now, it must be understood that the soldiers were not reading the Bible here and saying, This is what we must do, because this, to fulfill the scriptures, but it's just saying this is what they did. And again, this prophecy was made 1,000 years before the happening, 1,000 B.C. There was a prophecy that the Messiah would appear riding on a donkey, Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And in Matthew 21, verse 7, we have that fulfillment. And the disciples, they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And we know the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem riding on this donkey. Fulfilled just like it said. We have a prophecy that a messenger would be sent before the Messiah to herald his coming. And we have that prophecy in Malachi 3, verse 1, where it says, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom he seeks shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And in John 1, verse 19, we have John the Baptist at the River Jordan, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, No. He saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then they said unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent of the Pharisees, they asked him, and they said, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, neither Elias nor that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I spake. After me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. You know, these are all scriptures that we're familiar with, and it's a blessing to us. But when we see them put together in a way that is indisputable, and we read that it's not possible that this be just fulfilled by chance, it's a blessing, or at least it was to me. Now, this is what this group of mathematicians came up with when they calculated the odds that 8 of these prophecies could be fulfilled in one person by chance. They said it would be a 1 in to the 21st power of 10. And I can't wrap my mind around that number, but he said it would be like this. If you would take and blanket the earth with silver dollars 120 feet deep, and you would mark one of those and randomly bury it, and then have someone travel to the earth and pull that out blindfolded, would be a way to kind of get your mind around that number. Okay, well, these are 8 prophecies. There are dozens more. There are dozens that we didn't read that were fulfilled in Christ. But these are 8 that are randomly, relatively familiar. To see that all come together in the person of Christ the Messiah is really a tremendous bit of information. The intermediate class had that verse that without faith it is impossible to please him, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe that that is involved in really realizing what Christ has done for us, that faith in there. There's a lot of argument that Christ knew the scriptures and he could have fulfilled them just by doing what the scriptures prophesied. But there's so many of these that he had no control of. He had no control of his lineage. He had no control of where he was going to be born as far as looking at it as if he was a man. He would have had no control of that. He had no control of what they did to his garments and so many of those things. So it all comes back to the point that if Jesus is God, and he is, we know that, but it all comes to the point that whatever he says, whatever he gives us, is true and must be obeyed. And I was so blessed with the messages that Brother Rogers shared with us recently out of Philippians, where it talks about Christ is central and that there is a time coming when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And all of these things call for a response from us today, in a sense that we can't just say, yeah, I believe it, but it must make a difference in our life. We're accountable to these words, to the things that Jesus said. And it's not that it's so complex. We read the Sermon on the Mount and we see how the kingdom of this world operates, and we see how the kingdom of heaven is to operate by what he says there in his teaching of loving our enemies, of returning good to those that do us wrong, of so many things that are really easy to understand. And so sometimes we make the Christian life a very complicated and hard life, but actually being followers of Jesus is going to be that fulfillment. And that's what we're called to do. If we believe these and Believe it or not, it's true. And it's going to, he is Lord, and he will be our judge. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, as we come before you, we want to thank you for your love and your mercy on us today. Thank you for the privilege we have of serving you. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us to enjoy. And thank you for your word and for salvation that you provided to all of us. Be with the children who are together to worship you this morning. Help us to live our lives in faithfulness in your service. We ask it in your name. Amen.